Declare the ordinary meeting opened at 6:06. Again, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land and pay my respects to the Wangal people of the Eora Nation and pay our respects to their elders, both past and present. Could I ask that we be upstanding for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I just also note that the meetings are being recorded. I note there's no apologies, leave of absence, and declarations of interest by councillors. Councillor Kutcher?
Yeah, just got to declare a less than significant non-pecuniary interest in relation to item RC6 of 22, the local traffic committee July report. The nature of my interest is I previously resided on Lily Street in Burwood Heights, near to where the proposed speed bump would be installed. Managing this less significant non-pecuniary interest in that I no longer reside on Lily Street.
Okay. Any other declarations? Declarations of political donations. I note there's I think we have to record a planning decision on the VPA. That'd be right, Rita, but we'll do that just in case. Confirmation of minutes being moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Hull. On the minutes, or you had a question?
Sorry, I just had a question or comment, Mr. Mayor. Just going through the minutes, I just had a brief comment on the minutes of item 5422. There was a resolution by council on a number of reports and plans, strategic plans that were presented to council. I just note that I do recall that myself, Councillor Hull and Councillor Robinson had an objection to one item under that report, namely the then proposed rating structure and increases. I wondered whether that might be noted in the minutes.
It only gets noted if at the meeting you call for a division.
Oh.
So you need to call, I would have thought that would have gone through the training on the code of meeting practice.
Really?
Oh, so you'd actually have to call for a division. So it'd be one and then a second person would call, or I think you can, and I'll be corrected, ask that your name be recorded as voting against.
Oh, I see.
Is that correct, Michelle? So.
No, thank you.
I don't think we can change these minutes now on that basis because you would have had to ask for a...
Yeah, no, thanks for that clarification. I'll note that.
Is that right, Michelle? Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct. Under the current code, the code that we're considering tonight will automatically record all votes going forward, so you won't have to specifically ask. But yes, for the minutes already gone.
Oh, okay, so the new code will record. Okay, there you go. So I didn't even know that. So the new code would be, but this in the previously you would have to. Okay. Sorry, Councillor.
So can that objection be noted or
I don't know if it could be noted on. Just would have had to have been done at the time.
Oh,
sorry, Councillor.
No, that's okay, right? Mm.
You can still publicly claim it, but
yes,
not in the minutes.
No, that's all right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. So that was that seconded by you, sorry, for the record, because you had your mind. I know it was moved by Councillor Espar, just to confirm, or no, the adoption of the minutes. Dan,
All right, yes, I'll second that. Okay.
Speakers for or against, put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried. And that was unanimously, I believe, the adoption. Now, next item is there's no public forum, so there's no speakers at open forum, no address on public items. So we'll get into our items. I'll just read out the resolutions from the closed session, in the closed session at the end of the meeting. So I haven't forgotten those. So the first item on the agenda will be the MM6/22, which is on page 6, which is the recognition and engagement with First Nations people. Do I have any questions before I put the minute out? So I'll put them out. Any speakers against the minute?
So just a point of clarification, is council actually voting on this as a mayoral minute, or is
yes,
this?
Yes, okay. So the minute, when you put a mayoral minute, it doesn't need a seconder, and a minute could be placed on the council agenda at any time,
right,
and doesn't have to be notified. That's why it's a bit different. I've put it in here, so obviously you can, councillors can have a read and sort of ask questions if they need to.
Well,
but that's the minute. So the minute will be, and I'm sure you've read the minute, the minute would be, if adopted by the council, we would pledge our support for the Uluru Statement from the heart. We would write to the Prime Minister of Australia and Miss Sally Sutu MP, who's the member for Reed, to advocate for a First Nations voice to Parliament protected by the Constitution, investigate resourcing requirements and funding options to bring forward preparation of the first reconciliation action plan for Burwood, and obviously host a meeting with First Nations elders. I've got a tongue twist today. Was that your question just before I get to it?
Well, in terms of the substantive content of the minute, I personally would not be able to support points one and two for a number of reasons. I mean, the document that's appended to the minute is I would consider a politically controversial document, upon which there are quite a variety of views. I'm sure on council and in the community itself. Also note in the summary, the preceding, by way of introduction to the minute, that the Indigenous population of Burwood is actually quite a low population, below 1%, which is an interesting statistic. But in terms of points one and two, I would not be able to support those two.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Kutcher.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I had a question or a suggested amendment to the second point in the minute, actually.
Yes.
Just noting Tony Burke, the MP for Watson. So the boundary actually on the southern side of Liverpool Road, Sally Situ is not the member there. So I wondered if it would be appropriate to write to Tony Burke as well.
Yes, Minister Tony Burke. So we'll just make that amendment. So it would be the Prime Minister of Australia, the Minister Tony Burke, member for Watson, and Miss Sally Situ MP, member for Reed. Any other questions? Look, I think, and point taken, Councillor, I think not everyone, and there is some, I think, objection or debate to, this issue. I think it's important, though. I was a bit unsure about it until I did my own research, sort of read up on the issue. And I think it's because I can I say I was a bit unsure at the time only because I didn't understand it. So I didn't understand the purpose of the statement from the heart and recognising our First Nations people in the Constitution, as well as having a form of engagement. I think we've been better as a country and a society in recent years, not the best, but we've been better in starting to engage with our First Nations people. And I think it's important. I think it's important because Burwood's quite a diverse area. We're culturally diverse. We have people from many different countries across the world. Our First Nations people aren't any different. They're part of our community, whether they're 1% or 20% or 0.5%. They're still part of our community. And I believe they deserve that recognition. I believe as a country and as a community, we need to build stronger recognition. I think we have started, you know, I mean, it was a big day when we had the apology in Parliament. I remember attending a number of events at local schools, which celebrated that day and recognised what it meant. And I think this is another step in showing our First Nations people that we recognise their communities, we recognise their culture, extend our hand to say that and say thank you. So we're saying thank you to them, and we extend our hand to say that you are a part of our community. You know, this wasn't some form of, you know, we've taken control, taken over, and now you're excluded. You are at the forefront as those, as part of our community. And I think communities are built on strong foundations. And if we can't get that foundation right, our community eventually will crumble. And I think the messaging for people of all races to not tolerate racism, it means not tolerating racism against people that have come from overseas, but it's also racist behaviour to our First Nations people. They probably cop the brunt of racism. So I think it's important. And I'm proud that our council, if we endorse this, will be at the forefront of one of the councils in recognising this and starting that bond. And I'm excited to be able to start that bond and start meeting with our First Nations people. And I'll be inviting fellow councillors, if they want to attend that as well, to start that dialogue. I think it's really important. It's really important. And I think it sends a big message to my children and to our younger generations, to show them that this is who we are as a community and who we are as a country. And it's exciting that I think we have come this far. And while we're not quite there yet, I think it's exciting that people are starting to understand and recognise that. And I'm very touched by it. I'm very touched because I don't want to go back through the history of some of our First Nations people and Indigenous people and the way they were treated in their stories. I'm really touched with the fact that we are growing up as a country and as a community and moving forward together, not separately, together. And our First Nations people are very committed to being a part of us and being a part of our community and our history, which we can't forget. Any other speakers? I'll put the minute. All those in favour? Aye. Those against? I declare it carried. So I think you don't need it. So okay. We haven't passed the new code. So
if the councillor wants to be.
So do you want your name recorded against?
Yeah.
No, it's your choice, councillor. It's your choice. It's up to you. Okay. Can I just get you to put your mic on and I'll ask you again just for the record? Councillor, yes. Would you like your name recorded against?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Our next item is the... Thank you, councillors, and thank you for your support. And Councillor Hull, also respect your views and understanding. Our next item is MM7/22, which is the public art design features across Burwood Bridges. This is one of my just quirky ideas again, going through the municipality, seeing some of our bridges, just thinking of new ideas on how they could be treated, become statement pieces, not major statement pieces where they're sort of hanging out and you catch everywhere, but how do we connect certain sides of the electorate or our local government area that are divided by bridges? How do we provide that connection? A great example is is the bridge at the Strand. How do we connect that between the actual traditional Strand shopping precinct and strip to that North Edwin Street shopping precinct? And they're connected currently by a bridge. And if you walk down through the Strand and you speak to the shop owners on this side, and then you speak to the shop owners on the other side, or the residents on the inner west side, and then the residents on the Billwood side, you know, they're all mingling together there, and it's one community. But the bridge seems to be a little bit of a divide. And how do we, I guess, make those bridges a statement piece, whether it be through public art, whether it be through banners, whether it be through furniture, like, you know, I mean, in certain heritage bridges like the Strand, it might mean that there might be some form of installation of you know, Federation style lamps, for example, or lighting. I'm not sure. I mean, these are things that I'm asking be investigated. It might mean where we have some type of heritage mural along that bridge, which might involve Indigenous art. I'm not sure. It might mean that we had a motion to recognise Sarah Nelson, first female landowner in Croydon there, or Bellwood, I should say, who pretty much got that plot. Do we have something along there to recognise that, to recognise women? That's the idea behind this. Any questions? I'll put them in it. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. And the next item is the National Tree Day, acknowledging that, which is I don't have it here yet. 9/22. Any questions regarding this? I'll put them in it. All those in favour? Those against? Also declare that carried unanimously. General business, item 64/22, which is page 12. Questions? Got a mover. It's been moved by Councillor Esper. Oh, sorry. I missed Councillor's notice of motion. Notice of motion 1/22, sorry, page 10. Councillor, if you just want to read out your actual recommendation, and then I've got to get a seconder, and then you can speak on the motion.
So just the recommendation.
So you read that bit?
That wherever practicable.
So it's, yeah, you move that.
Okay, I move that wherever practicable, councillors and the general manager include an acknowledgement of country as part of an email signature, and that the general manager encourage all Burwood Council staff to do likewise for use in outbound email communications relating to council business. And number two, the general manager investigate opportunities for Burwood Council to install a flagpole in a prominent location within our town centre, such as within the proposed new urban park arts and cultural centre, from which the First Nations land rights flag can be permanently displayed. Thank you.
Thank you. And do I have a seconder? So, Councillor Crichton, seconder with an amendment, I believe.
Yes, an addition, a proposed addition. And I would like to propose that point three would read that an acknowledgement of country be included on the agendas of all council community committees, meeting papers.
Are you happy to accept that amendment,
Councillor? I absolutely am. Thank you, Councillor.
So, did you get that amendment, Michelle? So, Councillor, do you wish to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Mayor. I know we've just touched on this topic, the theme with the Uluru Statement from the Heart, but I wanted to go a little bit further and acknowledge, you know, we're looking at a 150 year anniversary for the township or the area of Burwood. There's also room for us at this time to reflect on the time before that, the time before colonisation of the area, and to respect the First Nations survivors who make their home in the Burwood LGA today. Now, we've had comments about there only being a small number. I think that's all the more reason why we want to acknowledge and pay respect in so many different ways, because quite frankly, we don't know enough about what our pre-colonial history in this area looked like. because of the nature of that colonisation and the impact that that's had on our First Nations people. So to acknowledge and show our respect for the survivors of that colonisation, I think is really, really important. And there are some very simple things that we can do to get that ball rolling. I really appreciate the mayoral minute shows our support for the statement from the Uluru Statement from the Heart, but I also commend the idea of simple acknowledgements of country in our email signatures, and as Councillor Crichton has added at the beginning of all our community meetings, should be just par for the course. Thank you.
Councillor, you're right to reply.
Thank you.
Seconder.
Thank you. It is my pleasure to support this motion. I think this is an important show of respect and acknowledgement to the Wangal's people of the Eora Nation on whose land we meet. And I think it is right that Council takes a leadership role in this space and at every opportunity. As we acknowledge this month, the 25th anniversary of the apology from the New South Wales government to the Stolen Generations, and as we also wrap up NAIDOC week or month, I commend and thank Councillor Kutcher for his initiative, which I'm very pleased to support. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any speakers against? Councillor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to just comment on recommendation number two on the business paper there, that a flagpole be installed, which I think would... I think the intention is to display the Aboriginal flag in some location within the town centre. I mean, firstly, I note from the officer's comments that there is already an Aboriginal flag displayed or to be displayed within the new urban park, Burwood Urban Park, being proposed. And it's already located on the corner of Condor and Railway Parade. That's the first point I'd note. The second point is, and I think I speak for Councillor Robinson as well on this point, we would both be prepared to support the second recommendation, but subject to an amendment that if... this proposal were to go ahead, that the Australian flag and the New South Wales flag also be displayed permanently with the proposed Aboriginal flag.
Councillor, just on that, sorry, the motion I should have probably picked up should have been a bit more clearer. Any flag that's flown can't be flown without... there's a flag protocol. So I believe the motion asks to investigate opportunities. So if there was to be any Indigenous flag flown, it would have to be flown next to an Australian flag, I believe. I believe there's a flag protocol. Because we get notified. So when you see the three flags here, we couldn't, for example, just fly the Indigenous or First Nations flags on their own. We have to put them with the Australian, at least the Australian flag, I believe, and I think the New South Wales flag is then an option. There's a flags protocol. Can I ask? I think we're bound by that anyway.
Okay, just a point of clarification then. The recommendation seems to imply that the Aboriginal flag would be displayed on its own, but I might have misinterpreted that, but that seems to be what recommendation two implies, and whether that needs to be redrafted to reflect the flag protocol that you're referring to, which is...
That's a given, and it's not for me to change the motion. It would have to be the mover and the seconder if they want to.
Well, can I suggest that amendment be made then?
Councillor Kutcher, did you wish to amend it? Or
No, I don't wish to make that amendment. I don't believe it's necessary. I think the motion, you know, clearly asks for an investigate opportunities, and I would expect that we would receive advice back from the GM before any flagpole were to be installed and a flag displayed. So I'm quite happy with the motion as it reads.
Okay. So
Just further point of clarification, the recommendation refers to a flagpole. Shouldn't it be referring to three flagpoles, if that's the case?
Well, I mean, the way I read it, I mean, it's, it, I guess, at the end of the day, it's the mover's motion.
Mm.
My understanding is it would be the way I understood the motion, or the intent, which is what was trying to get at, is one, obviously, to investigate, and they'll obviously be come back with some type of, and can I disclose, the GM and I have actually had some discussions about this, whether we hang the flags on the entrance to the heritage building just out here, you know, the old heritage build council building facing the build public school, whether we add three flag sort of poles hanging off the building there and actually make it a bit of a statement where they hang off the building, and then future in the urban park, we then add the three flag poles to add the flags there as well. So we've had that discussion. In saying that, my understanding is, as I mentioned here, is that any flag that gets flown, there's a protocol, it would be flown with the Australian flag regardless. You can't just fly a flag, for example, without the Australian flag. That's the protocol.
That was my understanding, Mr. Mayor. And I think
that's clear in that. But anyway, I think the councillors, we can keep talking about it. It's not my motion. It's his. He's got to decide whether he wants to amend it.
Sure.
So you're still happy to second the motion the way it is? Okay.
I am. Yes. And I do await your investigation. I think that's quite valuable for this discussion. Thanks.
So did you wish to any other speakers? Other than clarifying, did you wish to speak, Councillor? You're fine? Yep. Write a reply. Sorry, did you want to add something?
In terms of what other flags it would be flown with, I would have thought it wouldn't merely just be the Australian flag. I would have thought it would be the New South Wales flag as well. That would be my understanding.
That'll be back in the report.
But that will be subject to the investigation, I presume.
There's a flag protocol.
It's an act. It's legislated.
Mm. It is. It's legislated. You're right to reply, Councillor.
I thank the councillors for the discussion. I'm happy with the motion to be put.
Okay, let's put it to a vote. All those in favour? Those against? I declare it carried. Councillor, I'm just going to move forward. If you're voting against something and you want your name recorded, just pull me up. Otherwise, it just on the minutes, it'll show as carried. So it's just for your decisions, just so we're transparent. So next month, if we have the minutes and it's not included in there, it's not included for that reason. So I think you have to point out if you want it recorded, you just got to say, I know my name as recorded against in the minutes, please. If not, I'll just move on, because I move quite quickly and I don't want to sort of deny anyone's right. Sorry, I just thought I'd make that point. 6-4, congratulations, Councillor, on the adoption of your motion. Item 6-4/22, which is the endorsement of the Build Design Review Panel, page 12, being moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manor. My question, quickly, I won't get into a question because I'll keep it moving, but I'll make a comment if there's no speakers, Councillor Espar, Councillor Manor. I'll just quickly speak in favour of the item. I think it's really important. I actually went on and Googled the names of some of the panel members that are being proposed, which is really good. I'm really excited also about wanting to get some form of design competition happening if we can, especially for our major development proposals. I think one of the dangers of a town centre and planning is if what happens is you're continually getting the same architect. So what happens is you obviously get property owners, they come and spend, you know, significant amount of money in the town centre wanting to redevelop a property, and they look for the easiest, quickest way to move forward. And what happens is they'll probably, on most cases, look at who else is designing things in the area, and then they'll find that architect that's doing usually all the designs, and I think, you know what, this is great. He must know all the council's codes and policies, and it becomes that ticker box system. So we'll go to him because he'll know how to tick all the boxes to ensure that, you know, our application moves quickly and complies, and we get our approval quickly, and it suffocates the ideas, suffocates the design. And it's sad because while planning from a compliance point of view is very important in your compliance table, because you need to set boundaries and understanding and expectations of what could be achieved on a particular site, no particular site is the same. So no particular site is the same. And I remember many, many years ago, which is now sort of something that doesn't happen anymore, when you used to actually see the statement of environmental effects by town planners, one of the first things they used to do was a site analysis and a surrounding master plan of the site and how the development would fit within that site. Now we've gone to and moved to a system where it's just a ticker box that complies with the height. Yeah, we tick it. If it complies with the floor space, we tick it. Complies with, you know, providing the number of car spots, we tick it. And it's, you know, and I think I've spoken about this before. It's sad because we're creating with, we were just talking about our Indigenous history and you know, first settlements and land subdivisions. If you go through Croydon and the Melvin Hill Estate, you can still see the land subdivision maps on display. And we were creating communities via our streets and horizontally. Now we're creating streets vertically. We're creating vertical buildings where you're getting 200-300 dwellings, 100 dwellings. You know, that's 100 homes in a vertical tower. And we're not really designing it to the best of our ability, whether it's through design excellence, whether it's through some form of public art. You know, there's many buildings across interstate, across Australia and overseas, which have large murals on buildings rather than blank concrete walls that colour in a couple of triangles, and that's, you know, trying to give it a bit of articulation. It's also, from an amenity point of view, important that we create places for people to enjoy and spend time. So we don't need to just create places where people are going to sleep and heat up a microwave meal. And it's important because more and more people are deciding to live in apartments. And if you go and see some of the apartment living overseas, it's very different to here. The apartment living overseas is the norm, where you've got a concierge, you'll have shared spaces like shared laundry spaces, you'd have less car parking spots because people use more bicycles and public transport. You'll have rooftop gardens. You'll have community hub spaces within the actual buildings, whether they be study rooms, whether they be theatres, whether they be community get-together areas and spaces. And I think that's becoming more and more important. So I just want to add, the reason I went on, I guess, making comment is because I want to add about the point of design competitions. And I'm not sure, so I'd be interested to see that investigation, but I know councils such as Parramatta and Penrith are running design competitions. And there's developments that are happening here per apartment sold for more than they are in Parramatta. And why is it we're getting better finishes and fixtures and amenity, I believe, in some of the towers in Parramatta than we are getting here? It's not making sense for me. So there must still be an economic viability to provide. And what we've got to do, I think, is flip the culture that's the expected culture. So Well, here it's the expected culture from those architects that are coming to us. Because what they're doing is they're starting at the base and then we're adding a little bit and saying, look, we want a bit of this now, we want a bit of that, and we want a bit of that. I think we've got to flip it and say, this is our standard now. If we need to strip away, the planners in their assessment can work out, you know what, yeah, that's probably a bit overboard. We can strip that because this site won't warrant that. I think we've got to start up there. And design competitions, I think, will bring in new idea, fresh ideas. I think we're getting a bit too stale with some of the stuff that the same architects continue to bring to us. And like I said, it's becoming a ticker box. And it's sad because while they're going up now, we'll realise the mistake in 5 to 10 years' time, like when you ride along that sort of eastern or western line, whatever it is, on the railways there, and you see all those old 60s red brick buildings, you know, 3 and 4 storey sort of developments that just were built like on stilts, and that aren't really a good recognition. So that's why I think design competitions will be really important. And I think developers, from what I understand, would bear the cost of that. The developer would bear the cost because they would bring 3 concept plans to the council on those major developments from 3 different architects. And they usually, when they do a design competition, you'll find that they usually get award-winning architects get involved in those. And then those award-winning architects can, and we can use the panel now. So we've got this design review panel, then they can sort of decide on a concept and then that moves forward from there. It's sort of like it's the birth of a new baby and it sort of evolves through there and sort of it starts to take shape. Any other speakers? Councillor Kutcher?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to acknowledge the experience in sustainable design that's been noted in the report here. I think that's really important and I'm glad to see that's been included and particularly referenced here. And I would just urge, if the motion is passed, that consideration in designing or establishing a design excellence competition process, that consideration as to how sustainable design in particular can be encouraged or incentivized or even required through that process is something that I think, you know, we would all benefit from. So I would encourage that to be considered as part of that investigation.
Thank you, Councillor, for those comments. You're right to reply, Councillor. Okay, we'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. Item 65/22, which is the Multicultural Committee. Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Oh, sorry, Councillor Esper. You're the chair of that committee. Moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers, questions? Speakers against? Councillor Crichton.
Just the budget just seems a little bit low, the $1,000 for the operational plan budget. So if they come up with some initiatives, do then they seek additional funding? Is that the way it works?
It comes in via report to council.
Okay, thank you.
So the reason they do $1,000 is it pays for your incidentals, those type of things on the committee. When you actually want to do a program or something, it formulates into a report and then it comes to for endorsement. Because committees are only advisory.
Yeah.
So I put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Also unanimously, 66/22, which is the Sustainable and Environment Advisory Committee. Which is on page 26. Mover? Moved by Councillor Kutcher, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers, questions? Put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Is that unanimous? Unanimous. 67/22, which is item on page 30, Cities Power Partnership Program Proposed Pledges. Moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Cutcher. Speakers, questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried. 68/22, voluntary planning agreement, page 46. Moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Questions? Speakers for, against? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against? Declare that carried. Was that unanimous or was there against? Because we've just got to record names on this one. It's a planning issue. So all those in favour is Councillor Esper, Manor, Crichton and myself. Those against? Councillor Cutcher, Councillor Robinson and Hull. I need to record a vote, whether it's yes or no.
Vote for.
For, sorry. Councillor Robinson and...
Vote in favour.
In favour. So one against, which was, sorry, we just need to record that one because it's a planning issue. 69/22, extension of working hours, 64, which I would have, I think the name sort of puts it off a bit. It should have probably just said in for the pouring of concrete slabs, not generally increasing work hours at all times. Moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Esper. Speakers for, sorry, questions?
I just wonder if I could suggest an amendment to the first recommendation, which is including the word generous between this should include and mitigation requirements in the second sentence. Just to reflect that, there are significant impositions. And mitigation, sometimes this can be quite subjective and, really what the objective of this policy should be doing to minimise or to give assurance to the community that that what we're trying to do is ensure that if there are going to be impacts, that there's going to be things that can be done about that.
So you were going to, what was your amendment, sorry?
So in the second sentence of the first paragraph in that recommendation, instead of saying this should include mitigation requirements on the part of the contractor, to say this should include generous mitigation requirements on the part of the contractor.
Yeah. Another word for generous? What's another word for generous? That has the same intention.
Substantial or
adequate. Adequate is just sort of meeting the standard. How do we go a bit above the standard? Like how do we... adequate and appropriate mitigation? Generous could means, I think, different things maybe to different people. What I see as generous, you might think is not enough.
I'll meet you halfway on that one. Adequate and appropriate sounds good.
Well, it's an investigation. So when we come back, I think it'll have a bit more detail. But I think the intent is understood by with direction. So I think the intent. So it'll be appropriate and what did we say?
Appropriate.
Not appropriate. There was another word. Adequate and appropriate. That's it. Yeah, just put adequate and appropriate mitigation requirements. I think that the staff understand the intent. Are you happy with that, Councillor?
Yep.
And sorry, who seconded that?
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Councillor Robinson. Mm-hmm. So you're happy with that amendment? Speakers for, against? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 70/22, which is on page 67. Which is the draft code of meeting practice. So when this gets adopted, you won't have to record your name as voting against anymore. We should have probably put that as the first item then. Would have been easy. Would have been easier. Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Cutcher. Speakers, questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, we declare that carried unanimously, I believe. Item 71/22, which is the draft library strategic plan, which is page 106. Been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers, questions, speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 72/22, which is the Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference, being moved by Councillor Cutcher with an amendment that the delegates be the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor and Councillor Cutcher with the alternate Councillor Espar. I got approached by the Councillor asking if he could be a delegate, which I'm happy to support. So it's been moved by Councillor Cutcher, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers?
Reminder that
everyone can attend. Sorry, this is just the voting delegates. So if you want to attend, you just need to ensure that we will receive something, Michelle, shortly, I believe.
Yeah, we can send something out. James or Jackie will send something out. By the
night. So we'll get something. This is just for voting delegates. It's not a voting year anyway. It's just voting on motions. You should go. Yeah, it's nice. But it's a good catch-up for the councillors from different councils. You see what they're doing, Local Government New South Wales, and we will appreciate that. Anyway, so it's been moved by Councillor Cutcher, seconded by Councillor Manor. Do I have any speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. Investment report, 73/22, 151. Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Espar. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. 74/22, which is questions without notice, which are noted there. I just got a, yeah, sorry.
Did we drop that out for, was that the tree?
We've done that. 74/22, questions are on notice that the receive and note the report's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Cutcher. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. And we've got item 77/22, which is the late item on the Christmas closure. Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Espar. Questions? Councillor?
Can I just raise, and I have raised it with you, Mr. Mayor, but just I just want my concerns noted that just
question,
the long
question first, I'll get you to
okay.
Speak.
The long closure of the library over the holiday period.
Question.
Just the question probably would be concerns me. It just seems to be growing. Turn it into a question. It concerns me.
How about
16 days, I think, or 15 days. I know there's
how about I holidays. Stop you?
Yep.
And then you can speak on the
item. Okay, thank you.
It's probably more appropriate.
Sure.
The mover, who moved that? Sorry, Councillor Manor. Did you wish to speak? Councillor Espar?
Mm-hmm.
Were you the seconder? Yes, okay. Then I'll speak. Any other speakers? Councillor Crichton, you wish to speak?
I do. I just have great concerns. To me, it's a community asset shared. We manage it, of course, and we care for it, but it is a community asset. And it concerns me that it's closed for, you know, prime time. For me, I follow a Christian calendar. However, a lot of our community don't. And I just have great concerns. It just seems that we closed at Easter when Burwood was really busy. Neighbouring councils still operate sometimes on 4-hour days, on 4 hours of opening on public holidays, but we seem to just like close the front door. I understand, of course, that we've been in lockdown and our budget suffered terribly, but if we really are a major strategic centre and this is a key community asset, I think we have to be trying to step away from this blanket closure each Christmas and New Year for such a long period. That's all I wish to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other speakers? Look, I'd like to speak. I note concerns there. It gets closed because half the days are actually public holidays and weekend days, which it is closed. So it's not closed for 15 days. We're closing for an extra 6 days. And I can look, I'd love to run the community hub 24/7. What you've got to work out then is to run the library at any particular time, whether it's for 1 hour, or 8 or 12 or 20, you're going to need 8 staff members. to meet our agreements for our obligations under the Occupational Health and Safety Act, as well as union and self and safety. So while I can understand the point, I think the reason we close over that period is not just because we're trying to close. It's one is we give our staff a break, so the rest of the organisation closes for that time. It's a bit unfair to say to the staff, everyone else gets a proper 2-week holiday, you don't. And that's caused, I think, some rufflings in the past. The other issue is we redirect, there's a budget saving of about $300,000. In saying that, the saving's actually not kept and sort of banked, it's reallocated. Usually what we do is, for example, during HSC trial times, some other times when we do the food festivals out here, we'll then run the library later. That's when we find that there's the most demand for it. So while you might not get, while you might get 1,000 people on average attending a day, during the Christmas breaks, most people on holidays, kids might be doing other activities because they're not at school. Their parents are at home, so they don't come to the library to get picked up from the library. So you find that our occupancy, if you want to say our customer sort of levels, fall to about 20% of what they usually are. So then you've got to weigh up that cost. Okay, do we open for 20% of the people using it? I'd love to open for 1%. Or do we better use that savings in boosting our operating hours during the trial periods and HSC time when we get 100% occupancy from customers wanting to come and use it at that time? I think eventually we'll probably end up being working through it. Maybe when the hub's open, it might create more demand, there might be more activities, it might be a bit more different. But I think that's something we'll always review anyway. So it's not a given. If there's obviously, it becomes a demand in the future to open during Christmas time, councillor, I think we're aware of that. It's not that we want to close, it's just that the value of keeping it open for that time during that period where it's very slow, it's not the best bang for, I think, where we could be using those allocated funds when there is the demand to do it. That's all. So it's not that we want to, it's just we're sort of reacting to what's happening there at the moment. Did you want to add anything? And I think also there's, did you want to add, or Brooke?
I was going to ask Brooke maybe to clarify the funding we received for the extended hours that will probably offset what the mayor was just saying. We'll offset the closure with extended hours and night at specific times.
Yeah, so through you, Mr. Mayor, we are currently under embargo in that announcement. However, I can clarify that August to November, we will be opening to midnight Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. We'll also be opening Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. to 12, which we open 12 to 4 on a Sunday. So that's confirmed for the period now. We also are awaiting a further clarification on a further funding beyond that as well. So that's what we've confirmed at this time. Those hours that we've put in place are really around this usage. So over that Christmas period, a lot of the educational institutions, so all the schools shut down, also tertiary institutions. So the big use that we see at the moment and the demand is really amongst students. We also shut down our programming. So our programming around Baby Bounce and Rhyme Time, Preschool Storytime, all those sorts of programs that bring people in because of the numbers of people that go away. We don't have clarification as yet. However, we have put out a question to our neighbouring, all of the library network across Sydney, actually. And with the majority coming back to us, some haven't confirmed it as yet, stating that they'll be doing a longer closure, more aligned to what we're proposing this year. So I guess it's in recognition that the students drop off in that particular period of time, we see then traditionally the demand in terms of the study space dropping off. But we're trying to then bulk up those times. So those dates and times that are in that
council report are absolutely confirmed and funded from not utilising council funds. But then we're also expecting a further announcement on extending those operating hours even further beyond that. So we are really supporting where that demand lies. And we've done a lot of consultation. We did the midnight hours trial last year, which has really informed where we need to extend those hours. So we definitely fully agree that we need to see the extension. It's just if we can divert those resources as per those the Mayor's comments to the times where we know that people want to see the library open. That's what we're trying to do with the available resources. Yeah.
Councillor.
I might just ask a question about that announcement and sort of the openings and the change to midnight and everything. Is there going to be like sort of auditing and sort of monitoring whether that time is busy and you know, is it just a trial period so that we can know that, you know, keep it forever? And if there's like one or two people coming in, it's just not worth it after a while.
Yep. Through you, Mr. Mayor. So last year we undertook the midnight hours trial, so we've already done the trial period. What we saw, and that was right in the midst of the coming out of the second lockdown, what that meant was that we only could have a 40-person capacity in the hub for study. We had a security guard on duty. We had pre-booking arrangements because of the COVID climate that we were dealing with. Those 40 places booked out within 3 days. We had a waiting list well beyond the 40 that we were able to accommodate because we had the restrictions in place as to number of persons per square meter. So we know from that that initial trial midnight hours, we were unable to meet the demand and it was instantly taken up. We did a lot of consultation. So all of those that came through that trial period, we did pre and we did post and evaluation surveys, got their feedback, and we've modified the model. And then that's why we've gone for a further extension. So we've done all that trial work. We know it works. It's just now funding that extension of hours so that we can continue. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other questions? Speakers? The motion, all those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. Next item is the last item, I believe, for a decision, which is RC6/22, which is the Bill of Local Traffic Committee 157. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. You had a question, Councillor, about EV stations?
I do. Two questions, just through you, Mr. Mayor. Just whether Council has adopted a strategic approach towards our go-get cars and also EV charging stations. Just seems to be quite a regular item on the Traffic Committee of late, suggested locations or put up for endorsement. But I wonder if we're actually setting the policy or are we being reactionary to the providers?
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'll hand over to the guys in a second, probably just a little bit of a snapshot that you obviously... We're one of the first councils to adopt this new proposed model with Jolt in relation to the power stations in our municipality. So there's four so far. You would have seen probably a couple already in action on Park Avenue. And then I'll hand over to Rita to explain the next phase. In relation to car share, obviously we have a number of spots dedicated to car share providers. I believe about maybe just more than a dozen, 14. To date, some are in our parking station, some are just on the street. So far, I think it's been determined, the locations and the numbers have been determined by demand that we get through relationships and conversations with the providers. And they themselves obviously rely on the membership, the local membership numbers that they see on the ground. Having said that,
how many subscribers?
Yeah, that's right. Having said that, I might just hand over to Rita in relation to the next phase, which is, I think, in a more specific answer to your question, Councillor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In terms of the work that we're doing for the Burwood North Precinct, both car share, car parking arrangements and the capacity for EV vehicles, we're looking at that both in the public and the private domain. A lot of that work will then inform what goes into our DCP, because a lot of those controls will be in the development control plan. And dependent on what comes out of the work that we're doing for Burwood North, that will then be transferred across the LGA and into the Burwood Town Centre. So the plans will be updated. If we need to put a requirement into the LEP around a number of those incentives, then we'd be looking at that as well. But we're looking at a comprehensive strategy that we will roll out across the LGA through the planning framework.
Any other questions? Thank you, Lena. And thanks, Tomasa. Any other questions? So that was moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. That brings us to the end of our items. We had the closed committee items prior to the meeting, and the council resolved the following. In relation to MM8/22, the director, people and performance circulated. Okay, it was resolved that the review panel congratulates the general manager Tomaso on his individual performance in 21-22 and that of the organisation and notes the reputation of the council has been enhanced by the contribution made. And B, that it be noted the review panel has assessed the performance of the general manager as warranting a performance increase of, do I put that, is that a public $10,000? And C, that the projects and priorities outlined in the Merrill Minute be adopted and included in the general manager's performance agreement for 22/23. So well done, Tomaso. And I think all the councillors were quite appreciative of, especially of all the staff's work, but your leadership, especially with the West Invest stuff, which I believe for the last 3 days until yesterday when they had to be lodged, we had staff members working all the way through the night. I heard some stories. So thank you to get those in on time. So well done. Item 76/22, which is the lease of the cafe at Railway Square, Burwood, 1A Railway Parade. It was resolved as recommended. I don't need to read it all out, do I? I do. The council resolves to, one, grant the general manager with authority to negotiate the surrender of the release, including the way of the mediation if required, and enter into any documentation relating to the surrender of the lease under power of attorney. My contacts are getting a bit blurry at this time of night. Two, grant the general manager with authority to enter into a settlement agreement with the leasee in full and final settlement of the issues surrounding the rental arrears and the current lease in accordance with the following terms. A, the leasee surrenders the current lease. B, the leasee pays a surrender sum plus or minus 10% as per the report, and forfeit of security bond as per the report. Three, write off any outstanding debt that relates to A, rental arrears following payment of the surrender sum, and B, the balance of the lease term as a result of the surrender of the lease. So that was moved and adopted unanimously.
You've done the Burwood Park. Did you do the Burwood Park?
And
did we do the Burwood Park?
No, I haven't done that yet. And item 75/22, which is the Burwood Park construction tender report, resolved, one, that in relation to the tender for construction of Burwood Park Century Garden Pond, nature play and drainage infrastructure works, that the tender from Civil Constructions Proprietary Limited be accepted as per the report. Two, that authority be granted to the GM to sign the tender contract and any related documentation. And that was resolved unanimously. Oh, you were here for the resolutions. There being no further items, councillors, I declare the meeting closed.